We're going to take a look this evening at Joshua chapter 8, and I'm using for the title and subject for the message from what the Lord had given to Israel in their day. And the title and the subject, as we read in chapter 8, is Complete Victory Over Ai. Or we could say Joshua was given a complete victory over every enemy. He won the day convincingly. Now remember, before they were soundly defeated by the armies of Ai. They went up to take Ai in the energy of the flesh without waiting upon the Lord. If you want to turn back to chapter 7. In chapter 7, remember when the men, they chose out 3,000 men to go up, they said, "Let us go up, we can take the city," remember? Verse 3, chapter 7. They returned to Joshua and said, "Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up, and let us smite Ai. Make not all the people to labor there, for they were but few." And so they went up to Ai, those 3,000 men. And we know from reading in chapter 7 that they were smitten. And 36 of them were killed, and they went back running back to the camp with their in confusion and in with the judgment of God upon them. Instead of waiting upon the Lord, they went in the energy of the flesh. Instead of waiting, as David said, "Wait, I say, upon the Lord, and again I say, wait." Remember, too, how Joshua mourned over the loss. Remember back in chapter 7, verse 7, and Joshua said, "Alas, O Lord, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan, to deliver us into the hand of the Amorite, to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan." He was heartbroken when they were defeated and those men were killed. But now, a complete different story. We see tragedy turned into triumph, and we see that by the hand of the Lord. In chapter 8 of Joshua, the Lord completely destroyed the enemy. And Israel is able to defeat the enemy because they do so by the will of the Lord. If you look at chapter 8, verse 25 and verse 26, "And so it was that all that fell that day, both men and women, were 12,000, even all the men of Ai. And Joshua drew not his hand back, wherewith he stretched out the spear, until he had utterly consumed all the inhabitants of Ai." The Lord completely destroyed Ai by the hand of his Joshua. Israel is able to defeat the enemy because they do so this time by the command of God and by the will of God. Remember, he worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. We can learn many lessons from this chapter, but let us learn how the Lord is able to bless his people even in all their trials, or what we might say, their Ai, their trial, their conflict, their difficult. The difficulties that we might face, and we face them every day, don't we? Difficulties and heartache, different things in this life. The Lord has promised his people daily grace for every trial the Lord sends our way. And these trials are called precious trials. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, remember when Paul asked the Lord to remove that thorn in the flesh? You know, a thorn in the flesh is a painful thing. You just get a little thorn or a sliver, that's a painful thing. And Paul asked the Lord to remove that trial, that thorn in the flesh. And the Lord said, "My grace is sufficient." Let me read that scripture to you. "My grace is sufficient for thee, For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, let's begin by looking at verses 1 and 2 in Joshua chapter 8. And the Lord said. Now, when the Lord speaks, and when he speaks with absolute power, we ought to sit up and listen. And the Lord said, you remember James said, let us be swift to hear, slow to speak. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed, but take all the people of war with thee, and arise and go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. Only the spoil thereof, the cattle thereof, shall ye take for prey unto yourselves. Lay thee an ambush for the city behind it. Now, Joshua, he said, fear not. Don't even be discouraged. Don't even be dismayed. Now, remember before he was so discouraged when they were defeated. He said, Lord, it'd been better if we just stayed over there on the other side of Jordan. No, it wouldn't. But Joshua, fear not. Be not dismayed. Don't be discouraged. Don't be cast down. Don't be depressed. What a comfort this word of the Lord must have been to his servant Joshua. What a comfort this must have been to him at this time when he needed to hear a word of encouragement to strengthen his heart, to strengthen his faith. The Lord sent him a word in due season, in due time. Now, Joshua had heard something similar before. Turn back just a few pages into Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 7 and 8. Deuteronomy 31, 7 and 8. And Moses called, verse 7. Deuteronomy 31, 7. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him, in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, it is he that goeth before thee, and he will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Now, this is a word that Joshua had heard before. You remember, turn to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, I'll be with thee. I will not fail thee. I will not forsake thee. Be strong. Be of good courage unto this people. Thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be strong and be courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to the law, according to the word of God. Turn not away from it, not to the right hand nor the left hand. And God said, I will prosper, I will prosper you. Now, fear not, I'm with thee. It reminded me of what the Lord said on another occasion to Peter. Turn over to John chapter 14. You remember, Peter had said unto the Lord that I will never forsake thee. I'll follow thee wherever you go. I'll lay down my life for thy sake. And the Lord in Joshua, this is John chapter 13, verse 38. And we'll get to chapter 14. And the Lord said, will you lay down thy life for my sake? Verily I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me three times. Three times you're going to deny me. Now, what do you think Peter's frame of mind was when he heard the Lord say, you're going to deny me? He's thinking, he's got to be perplexed and it may be even dismayed. But look what the Lord says here. And it, in essence, it's the same thing. Chapter 14, John 14, 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Fear not, be not dismayed. Let not your heart be troubled. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I will. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Where I am, there you may be also. Now, you know that had to encourage Peter. When the Lord said, you're going to forsake me. And then the Lord turns right around and encourages him. This too is a message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that we need to hear. Well, may God give us ears to hear it and to believe him. We have no need to fear, even to be dismayed. Not believers. You know, the first time we read those words, they were said to Abraham. When Abraham was in the era of the Chaldees, when God called him out, he said, fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Fear not. Believe God. Believe God. You know, faith and fear are somewhat opposites, are they not? If we believe God, we have nothing to fear. Turn over to Isaiah 41. Several times in the book of Isaiah, this statement is given to us to encourage our heart. Oh, that we may hear the word of the Lord. Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not. This is one of my favorite verses in the book of Isaiah. Fear thou not. I am with thee. Be not dismayed. Same message, is it not? Be not discouraged. I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I will be with thee. Same chapter, Isaiah 41, look at verse 14. Isaiah 41, 14. Fear not, thou worm, Jacob, ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. See right here in the book of Isaiah. Look at Isaiah 43, Isaiah 43, 1. Isaiah 43, 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, you're mine. Do not fear. And then one other reference, turn one page, Isaiah 44. Isaiah 44, verse 1 and 2. Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. God's chosen us. Fear not. Hear. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jeshurun, another name for Israel, whom I have chosen. Fear not. We have all through the Word of God much reason to trust him rather than to fear. It is the sweet promise of our unfailing God in the midst of all our heartaches, discouragements, trials, and our spiritual warfare that the Lord would have us to trust him and not fear when these precious trials come our way. They come from the hand of our loving Father and they're for our good. You remember Peter said this, the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Trials are more precious than gold. Gold perishes. God works the trial that he sends our way. He works that trial in our heart for our eternal good. And that trial will keep on and keep on and keep on until it has worked God's purpose in our heart and in our life. We read in Romans, and we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. That's why Paul says, in everything, let us give thanks. In all things, let us give thanks. Now, here's a second thought over here in Joshua chapter 8. God promised to Joshua not only his presence, but also the victory over the enemy. Look what he says. Arise and go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king, his people, his city, and his land. Thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou did to Jericho and her king, only the spoil thereof, the cattle thereof, you shall take for prey unto yourselves. Lay thee in ambush for the city behind it. He even tells them the battle plan, gives him the battle plan. Now, God promised Joshua not only his presence, but also the victory. Now, think about this. The final outcome was not in doubt, was it? You're going to go up and maybe you'll win the day and maybe not. No, you're going to go up and I'm going to give that city into your hand. The final outcome was never in doubt. The Lord even told Joshua how to win. He gave him the battle plan to lay ambush for the city. Remember when Israel came through the Red Sea and Pharaoh and his army went down in after them and the sea covered them up and they all drowned. And Israel on the other side, you remember they sang that song of victory. And here's some of the words of that song. They said, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. The Lord is a man of war. David said in Psalm 44, we just read a moment ago, the Lord is my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. The Lord teaches us how to deal with our enemies and how to deal with our trials. David was not strong in David. His strength was in the Lord, his God. Remember in defeating Goliath, that giant? He said to Goliath, you come out with sword and spear, but I come to thee in the name of the living God. Now, who's going to win that battle? God has the victory over all his enemies. David was strong, not in David, but David was strong in trusting the Lord. And so it is with us. The Lord is our refuge and our strength and a very present help in our trouble. Same God. He said, I'm the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob, you are not consumed. The Lord has promised never to leave us or forsake us. We can be sure his promise never fails, not one time. You remember from our study in the book of Hebrews 13, the Lord said, I'll never leave thee, I'll never forsake thee. He has said, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is our helper. He will not forsake us. He will not leave us. And then the Lord promised his church when he ascended up on high, recorded in Matthew 28. He said, lo, I am with you always. He said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Go and preach that gospel. Remember, I am with you always. Always. The Lord has also promised his people that he would never leave us, he would never forsake us, and his promise is certain and true, yea and amen. The Lord has also promised to provide for us. To provide for us. Haven't you found that true all your life? That the Lord has provided for you all, even before you knew him. The Lord has provided for us. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. He is Jehovah Jireh. What does that mean? The Lord will provide. And he provides in an abundant way. I often think of the Lord with his disciples in that ship when the storm came up and when the ship started taking on water and the boat started to sink. And they, like Joshua, were fearful and dismayed. Lord, don't you care? This boat's going to sink. We're all going to drown. Remember what the Lord said? Why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith? And the Lord stood forth and rebuked the wind, and there was a great calm. You remember what they said? Oh, what manner of man is this? That even the wind and the sea obey his word. He not only stopped the wind, but those waves, the momentum of those waves, it was a great calm. That's the power of our God. Here's the second thing I want us to look at in verses 3 down through verse 8. Verse 3 down through verse 8. So Joshua rose and all the people of war to go up against Ai. And Joshua chose out 30,000 mighty men of valor. Now some think 30,000 here and then the 5,000 down here that lie in ambush. Some think maybe a total of 35,000. Before they just went up with 3,000 men, but now 35,000 men. And he commanded them, saying, behold, you shall lie in wait against the city, even behind the city. Go not very far from the city, but be all ready. Be ready. Be ready. Paul says, for as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you. Be ready. And I and all the people that are with me will approach unto the city, and it shall come to pass when they come out against us as at first, that we will flee before them. That's what happened last time they tried to attack the city. For they will come out after us till we have drawn them from the city. For they will say they flee before us as at first. Therefore we will flee before them. Then you shall arise from the ambush and seize upon the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. And it shall be when you have taken the city that you shall set the city on fire, according to the commandment of the Lord shall ye do. See, I have commanded you. Now, they can't lose. God's commanded them and given them the city, given them the victory. Joshua conquered by seemingly yielding at first to the enemy. Right? Seemed like when he said, when they come out against us, we'll just fall back. We'll just act like we're in retreat. We'll act like we have been defeated. Both Robert Hocker, whom I read, and Matthew Henry had this thought. And I thought it was a good thought. I'm going to give it to you. At first, like before, they fled before the enemy to draw them out of the city. But the ambush was set in a place according to the command of God. And the city was taken, and Ai was utterly destroyed. Seemed like at first they were defeated. They were routed. But not so. Now here's the thought of Hocker and Matthew Henry. In the death of Christ, and I love the way these old timers always get to Christ and the gospel. We know that Joshua is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the death of Christ, it seemed at first to be a defeat, did it not? When he yielded to the enemy, the Jews, they said, we've got him now. When they turned him over to Pilate. The Romans, they whipped him and mocked him and said, hail, hail, King. They mocked him in his lordship. They mocked him in his priesthood. It seemed like the enemies had the victory over him. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, no man takes my life. I lay it down. I lay it down because of the command of God. The Lord Jesus Christ submitted to death, even the death of the cross. And it seemed like he yielded to the enemy, and it seemed like that they had gotten the day they killed him. But rather, it was a complete victory, was it not? By dying, Hocker said, and death, by his death, he overcame death. Remember, they did only what God determined before to be done. his death is considered not a defeat, but rather an accomplishment, being made sin for us. He put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He put away our sin, being made sin for us. There's an old English writer, an old English preacher by the name of John Owen. Most of you have heard of John Owen. He wrote a book called The Death of Death in the Death of Christ. It's about the atonement of the Lord. The death of death in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. I read that book many, many years ago, probably 30 or so years ago. But I remembered this one statement as I was thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ dying for our sin according to the Scripture. And here's what John Owen said. When our sin was put was laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ, sin committed suicide when it was laid on Christ. I never forgot that. We see in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, he put away death and he conquered death by his death. We read in Philippians 2, he became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. But also God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Now he's seated at the right hand of God, and the good news of the gospel is that we're seated in him. Seemed like at first his death was a defeat, right? He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. And we are seated in the heavenlies in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's a third thing. From verse 9 down through verse 29, I'm not going to go back and reread these verses, but we're given the details how Joshua and Israel are given victory that day. The victory Joshua was given was a complete victory over the enemies of Israel, over the enemies of God. It was never in doubt who would win the battle. The Lord had given them the city and the victory over it before they even marched one step. The victory was not in doubt. And they hadn't even marched one step. Joshua had not even called the army to attention, those 30 or 35,000 men. The victory was given them before they even took one step, or even before they girded on their sword. It was done, and they had the victory because God had commanded it to be so. And did so from, when did he command it to be so? From all eternity. From all eternity. Verse 7 again, he says, according to the commandment of the Lord shall you do. See, I have commanded you. Again, look over at verse 27. The last part, according unto the word of the Lord, which he commanded Joshua, which he commanded our Joshua, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, salvation is a done deal from all eternity. Before we were born, before we even took one breath, before we ever took one step, our salvation was finished, final, and complete in Christ. We're justified from all eternity because God has decreed our salvation in that eternal covenant of death. And we know that Joshua is a personal type of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Joshua. Remember what the Lord says of our Joshua? Call his name Savior, for he shall save his people from all their sin. Now, how many sin had you personally committed when the Lord Jesus Christ died? None. But your salvation was already completed, done, and atonement was already made. Because the Lord Jesus Christ stood as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Before Adam ever sinned, the Lord Jesus Christ already stood as our surety. Already stood as our Savior, our Redeemer. It was done. He'd already had justified us by his blood. Our blessed Redeemer had determined from all eternity to win the complete victory for us before we were born, before we took one step, given us in Christ before the world began. We call that being eternally justified in Christ. It's so. It is so. Listen to this scripture. I quote this almost every sermon I bring. 2 Timothy 1:9 is God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our work, but according to God's own purpose and grace that was given us in the Lord Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world. Is there any doubt that his people are going to have the victory? That they're going to have salvation? Absolutely not. Chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Accepted in the Beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is the captain of our salvation that is bringing many sons unto glory. Christ suffered once for our sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us unto God. The Lord Jesus Christ has already defeated all our enemies for us by himself, with himself. When he by himself purged our sin, sat down at the right hand of the Lord. You remember Psalm 110? The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. Now, if you want to turn with me, you can, but if not, I'll just read it to you. But find the book of Colossians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 2. This is one of my favorite scriptures in the book of Colossians chapter 2. Because it tells us about the victorious Lord Jesus Christ. He knows nothing about the agony of defeat. Now, he knows a lot about agony, but nothing of defeat. Colossians 2:13, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, having spoiled principalities and power, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. And it says in it, the marginal reference says, or in himself, by himself, with himself, conquering all our enemies. We had the victory in Christ, not defeat. You remember from Romans 8 where it says we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember over in 1 Corinthians, and I use this verse all the time too. Thanks be to God, 1 Corinthians 15, 57. Thanks be to God who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, 57. Thanks be to God who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Victory over what? The victory over what? All our enemies? Sin? We can't put away our sin. I can't do one thing about my sin. But the Lord Jesus Christ has put away all our sin. Satan? I can't handle him. I can't handle him. The Lord Jesus Christ crushed his dominion, his power. The Lord dealt with him. Dealt with him upon the cross. The woman's seed crushed the serpent's head. Over death? To see you take care of death. Just going to determine, well, I'm not going to die. A lot of people think that. I'm not going to die. Yes, you will. This body's going back to the dust. But the Lord Jesus Christ has conquered death for us. He said, I'm he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. I have the keys of hell and death. Because he lives, we live in him. You see, all these things that were against us, our sin, the accuser of the brethren, Satan, death, the law of God that was against us and contrary to us. He redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Hell, There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ. He took all the wrath of God in His own body and put it away. No condemnation. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that has died, yea, rather, that is risen again. In the grave, we're going to take our precious loved ones, and we're going to take their body, and we're going to prepare it, put it in a box, take it to the cemetery, and bury that body of clay. One day, there's going to be a resurrection day, and we're going to have a new body, a glorious body, like unto His glorious body, just like Christ. We do believe in a real resurrection. One last thought here. That king, Ahai, the king of Ahai, when they burned the city, verse 28, 29, Joshua 8, 28, 29. Joshua burnt Ahai at the command of God, killed 12,000 men and women, destroyed the city, took all the cattle, all the land, all the riches, burnt the city and made a heap of it forever, desolation unto this day, verse 29. And the king of Ai, he singled him out on a tree, hanged him on a tree until eventide. And as soon as the sun went down, Joshua commanded they should take his carcass down from a tree and cast it at the entering of the gate of the city, and raised thereon a great heap of stone that remaineth unto this day. The king was completely defeated. The king himself. The king of Ahab, we don't have his name. Joshua killed him and hung him up on a tree. Now, do you know why he hung him up on a tree? Showing he was cursed of God. The reference is given there in Joshua chapter 8, verse 29. And the reference is given there to Deuteronomy 21, 23. You see it? Deuteronomy 21, 23. And here's what that says. If a man commit a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree. Now, under the law, most of the time you were stoned to death, and then you were hung up on a tree to show you were cursed of God. His body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any ways bury him that day, for he that is hanged is accursed of God. That the land may not be defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. Now hang on to your seat. Turn to Galatians chapter 3. Even in the death of the king of Ahai, we see a type and picture of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. How so? Okay, turn to Galatians chapter 3. You see, everything in Scripture is relative to Christ. That's why Hawker and Matthew Henry, John Gill, all them old timers, they all read the Word and preach the gospel. And that's what we try to do every time. So, if you'll read Galatians 3:10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Deuteronomy 27. Now, we're going to see that in our next lesson, the last part of Joshua chapter 8. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Now watch this, verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, being made guilty for our sin. For it is written, why was he crucified upon the tree? Why didn't the Romans just put a sword in him and bury him out somewhere? Because he died for our sin according to the Scripture. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. And here we see the Lord Jesus Christ as our great sacrifice for sin. We see what happened when our sin was laid upon Him. The curse of that law was put upon Him. And the law says the guilty must die. And the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. But that's not the end of the story, is it? He's risen again because He put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Had He not put away our sin, He would not come forth from the grave on the third day. Because He made satisfaction for our sin, because He put away our sin, therefore God, He was delivered for our offenses and raised again because He had justified us in putting away our sin.